So I'm super excited to be speaking tonight. I'm grateful for Gary and the elders and Richard allowing me to speak tonight. And I'm humbled by being up here. And I think we're going to learn a lot tonight. We're going to start a new class, and it's Joe Washington and I. We're going to be speaking about self-control. So that's a lot of topics in self-control, but tonight's going to be a night where we can talk about a certain topic about being self-control. All right? But before that, let's pray. Father, there's no one like you. There never has and there never will. Father, we stand in all of you for who you are. God, thank you so much for allowing us another day to live, another day to breathe. God, that we can come before you tonight to worship you, to learn more about you, to be more like you in every way. Father, I pray that as we study out the things that we study tonight, God, that we will leave here encouraged and changed men and women to do great things for you. Father, we are just sinners. God, we are so unworthy. But Father, thank you so much for snatching us out of the fire and taking us from the mud and the mire and washed us so that we can be your sons and daughter. God, thank you again for tonight. Help us, be with us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off. I've been listening to a lot of preachings and listening to a lot of teachings, and this one thing that really irks me that I want to just get off my chest. You know? One thing is like, I think sometimes when we open up the Word of God, we just don't stand in all of it. We open the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And in my translation, in my the Hmong word, it's van chu zu lu gu jia zhen ning zu sha. It's not a word, it's a sentence. And what it is, it's the Word of God that will save your soul. That's what's translated. Not it might save your soul, it can save your soul, it will save your soul. It will. And I think sometimes we hear it a lot and we just kinda lose track of it. And not standing on. I want us to have a change of our heart tonight. You know, just kind of like when we hear the Word of God, we need to get excited about it. Amen. We need to like, this is what we live for. This is what we breathe. This is the Word of God that will change your life and will save your soul. You know, I remember going to Bangkok. When we were over there, the evangelist would open up his Bible, and every hand in the room would go up. And I'm thinking, what's up? What's up with this? You know, it's simply because they want to read it. They want to read the passage. And it's like some of them don't even know where it's at, so we have to wait until they get there. You know, they're flipping through it, but their hands are up. But that's how they love the Bible. They want to read the scriptures. You know, we went down to Cambodia, and there, you know, I took out my Bible from my book bag, and they're all kind of like, I'm like, what? And we're really, a lot of part of Cambodia, it's illegal to have the Bible intact. And so what they would do is they would tear the pages and hand them out. You get Psalms and you get Matthew. And so every once in a while you get together, you exchange it. So you don't even get the whole Bible. You get like pages. And that's how intense it is. I think we take the Bible for granted sometimes. In America, we can read it everywhere we go. We can read it at McDonald's. We have two or three at homes. We get so much of it, sometimes we lose track of what the Bible is. So I want us to read it tonight, just, you know, hey, when God's Word is open, let's stand in awe. Amen. Let's be in awe of God's Word. This is the book that will save your soul, the Word of God. And so, you know, let me tell you a story. There was a single sister in Bangkok, and her name is G, and she is vertically challenged. She's short. And you know, one day she got this brother who was pretty wealthy. They bought some tickets, and these were not just ordinary tickets. These are tickets to see Michael Jackson. So Michael was coming to Bangkok, and she was so excited. She's like, "Whoa, I gotta go see Michael Jackson. That's great!" But the day before the concert, it rained, and in Bangkok when it rained, it pours, And the sewer system is so terrible that all the things start flowing up. So you're up to your knee. So that morning they got up, you know, went to the stadium, about 4 miles walk. So they walked to the stadium in their knee in the mud and the, you know, just, you don't even know what's in underneath there. They got to the stadium and it says closed due to rain. So they're like, go back home. So they walked another 4 miles back home. The next morning, okay, let's try it again. So they walk, you know, late in the afternoon, they walk another 4 miles to the stadium. And they were open, so they got in. They got these tickets, and they were so excited. They're like, these are pretty expensive tickets. I wonder where we're going to sit. We might sit in the box seat, you know, get a good view of Michael, and, you know. But what it is, these tickets were tickets to the mosh pit. And they were in there in the mosh pit with a gazillion people, you know, a body, and it rains, and the mud, and it's like, oh, my goodness. And they're trying to hold on to each other so they don't lose each other. So they're holding on like this. And the crowd, I mean, it was intense. So G, being short, she couldn't see. People were blocking her. So she was like, I can't see Michael. So he comes up. Michael comes up, and she found these two little cups. And she put them on there, and John and Barry would hold her hand, and she'd jump up on the cup just to get a glimpse of Michael Jackson, and she crushes the cup, you know, it's like, that's it, you know. She was like, I saw Michael Jackson. I saw the king of pop. I saw him. She was so fired up. But I think sometimes we lose that, you know, when we come to church. We get to see the king. Not the king of pop, the king of all kings. That little glimpse, is that all I need? That's all I need. I just need to get that little glimpse of the king. And I think sometime tonight, I want us to really get in our hearts, see, this is the king I want to see. So, you know, I know a lot of people know Ronnie and Sheila Harris. They're in Athens right now. Ronnie used to, he used to disciple me. And Ronnie is just he's just a happy guy. I mean, you know, he's fired up about the grass and the trees. And, I mean, he's just fired up. You know, he's happy. When he's down, something is wrong. It's like, what's wrong with you? He's fired up. And, you know, one time I got with him, and I just tell him, Ronnie, I'm just not getting it, Ronnie. I'm my quiet time is just not good, and I've been missing it. And, you know, I'm just not getting it. And so he's like, you know, listening. And so I just went on, and he finally, are you done? I'm like, I'm done. He says, well, here's your problem. Your will run out. I was like, what do you mean, my will? He's like, your will run out. You need to get a passion. He's like, I will read my Bible. I will pray. I will share my faith. I will do this. I will do that. It will eventually run out. You need to get a passion. I think when you get a passion, it's more bigger than your will. Right. And I think for us tonight, let's get a passion. Amen. Let's get a passion. It's not a will. I will come to church. No, I get to see the king. I get to read the word of God that will save my soul. So tonight, I want us to really, you know, when we go to the scripture, I want to see your hands raised. And I want you to read it. Like you really mean it. Like this is the word of God. All right, so let's do that tonight. But let's go over to Galatians 5:22. Tracy. Go on.
Gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Thanks. You know, it says here that the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That there is no law against these things. There's no law against patience. There's no law against joy. There's no law against peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness there's no law against self-control. So with that, tonight we're going to talk about anger. And anger is, part of self-control. One aspect of dealing with your self-control is learn how to deal with anger. You know, and really, I think 30 minutes, I can't do justice in going into all the anger. But, we're going to hit some points, some key points, and then we're going to just kind of move on. But I really want you to go home and really study it out. These are some of the scriptures and Proverbs that I want you to write down. And really go home and study it out. Proverbs 14, 16 through 17. Proverbs 14, 16 through 17. Proverbs 14, verse 29. 15, verse 18. 16, verse 32. 17, verse 27. 19, verse 19. And 25, verse 28. And really go back and really look up these scriptures and really study them out and make it your conviction about anger tonight. Really, I tell my wife, I was like, men have two emotions, angry and angrier. You know? And I know that's a general statement, but a lot of time it's true. You know, we get angry and we get angrier when it all boils down to it. You know, what I want to do tonight is I want to define anger and where it comes from. And then two, I want to look at some practical ways in dealing with angers from Proverbs. Some practical ways that we can look at. And then thirdly, one dangerous type of anger. And finally, anger towards God. You know, the dictionary defines anger as a strong passion or emotion of displeasure and usually antagonism excited by a sense of injury or insult. Anger is fed by feelings of disappointment, hurt, rejection, fear, and embarrassment. You know, how many of us were angry this week? Okay. How many of us are angry today? Okay. You know, sometimes we feel like, where does it come from? And really, in the Old Testament, 375 times talks about God's anger. You know, really, our human capacity for anger is rooted in the divine nature of God. You know, God is, but God's anger is justified because, one, two things that the aspects of God's anger that are justified. One is that he is holy, and two is that he loves us. You know, holy in Leviticus is talking about God said, be holy because I am holy. You know, he is a jealous God. He wants us to himself. You know, when the Israelites started, following all the other gods, he came and he told them to repent, and they didn't repent, and he wiped them out, And so God is, he doesn't mess with being unholy, because he is holy. In his nature, he is holy. You know, his holiness stands forever against sin. You know, that's why God's angry when we're not holy like him. When we're involved with sin. And you think about the lack of faith, Israelite, going into Canaan, and how God was angry because they did not have faith in him. Because holiness is what he wants. And secondly, love. It's like parents. We love our kids. Sometimes they, we tell them not to do things, and they go and do it. And we're like, why? Why did you do that? I love you. I don't want you to get hurt. But you do it again. You keep doing it. And so, as God, two aspects of God that our anger derives from is his holiness and his love for us. And so we were created in God's image. So we have that in us. We have that capacity for anger in all of us. But really, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, in your anger, do not sin. So it's kind of like in your anger. So that means anger is a natural feelings, like sad and glad and happy and, all this. Anger is part of us, part of our makeup. But the only thing is, do not sin. We have God's DNA in us. And it's, you know, anger is not evil. It is not sinful or a Satan at work at us. It's because we are creating God's image. We are still concerned for righteousness and justice. So that's why we feel anger sometimes. And we feel like we're unjust, you know, we're being treated unjustly. And so we feel that anger. You know, looking at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3-8. Bill. Thank you. You know, it says here that, you know, Cain was angry, and he acted upon his anger, and he killed his brother. You know, really, I think anger is part of us, but it's what we do with anger that gets us into trouble. You know, it's crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. You know, that's anger. You know, and in James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring the righteousness life that God desires. You know, God knows that our anger does not bring the righteous life that he desires. Because our anger is not like his anger. It's not out of holiness and out of love sometimes. Our anger is, they're mistreating me. So I'm gonna do whatever I want to do back to them, you know. So it's not righteous. You know, really, our anger can lead us to destructive behavior, or we can decide, you know, hey, I want to be righteous in this. So, you know, I think really the anger comes from God, from his nature, but at the same time we have the power to choose not to sin. You know, we're gonna look at a few practical things. The question is, how do we control our anger so that it will not lead us into sin? All right, look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, chapter verse 1. Okay. You know, say a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, I think even our words will stir up anger. You know, I remember Sandy Session talked about this camp counselor. She took a bunch of little kids up on the hill, and she brought this very light feather up into the hill and had everybody sit down, and she went up, and she threw the feather, and the wind blew it, it went everywhere. And so she's like, you know, this is how your words are sometimes. You throw it out and you can't get it back. The wind is blowing. You might get a few of them, but you're not going to get all of them back. And so sometimes that's like our words. It stirs up anger. You know, so we got to really be careful about our words. And even down to our tone. You know, so, and I know a lot of people say it's not what you say, but how you say it. That gets people angry, you know. So I think for us, be careful in our words, in the way that we say it. Proverbs 22:24.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may learn his way and get in, get yourself ensnared. You know, when I was growing up, I was a pretty bad kid. I was a believer or not, but I was a pretty bad kid. We live real close to a railroad track, and my brother and I it wasn't them. I got this idea. You know, guys, let's go derail a train. That was my great idea. So we would go behind get in the train track, and we would pile like rocks on the tracks. We would pile these rocks, and we would run, hide behind the bushes, and wait till the train come. And so the train would come, and it would just go, it has that thing in front, it just knocks all the rocks away. And we're like, let's get bigger rocks, But there was a kid that always tagged along. He was like, he was angry when we fail. It's like, I can't believe the train went through it. And he got so upset. He's like, man, let's get tree stump or something, let's get bigger stuff. And I'm like, I'm pretty nuts, but this guy is like out to lunch, So he was an angry kid. He was always angry. And what it is his home, his dad was an alcoholic. His dad yelled a lot at his mom. His dad was always angry, so he learned angry at home. And he was scared to go home, so he never went home. He went to school and went to our house, and then we went to play, and later at night he went home. But it was like that fear in him. And then he got his, anger from his dad. And I think a lot of times we get anger from our parents, from the people we're around, our aunts, our uncles. It says here, don't even associate with them. Stop hanging around people who are angry. I think sometimes we feel like, we are at work and people are like, I'm getting paid so little. Well, yeah, me too. Well, yeah, you're right. I do deserve more. Man, this is terrible. And we get all riled up, and it's like all these angry people are like in one area, But being around them, you just get angrier. You feel like, yeah, that's right, they're mistreating me. It's injustice. And so the Bible says here, stop associating with them, or you will be ensnared by them. If you're an angry person, study it out. I think as parents, we need to learn how to deal with our kids. Sometimes our younger one, she's very stubborn. She tells you exactly how she's feeling. Like, are you ready to obey? Nope. You know what that means? You get a spanking, right? Okay. But she's like that. And so it frustrates me. Gets me angry. Like, I can't do anything. This kid loves spanking. what do I do? But the thing is, I'm constantly like, okay, I need to remember. I need to discipline her. I need to teach her. But I don't want her to feel like I'm angry at her. I don't want her to feel like Dad is just frustrated. He's losing it. I'm winning. So for me, it's, I need to make a, especially for kids, it's really, I don't understand adults yelling at their kids. I think you need to get down to their eye level and talk to them eye to eye. Our daughter hates talking eye to eye. She would do this. And I'm like, look me in the eye. She hates looking you in the eye because she knows when you lock eye, it is on. And so she would try to avoid it, any way she can. But I think for us, it's to really be careful how we teach our kids. To really get down their eye level and to really talk to them. Even though you may be angry, control and be gentle with them. Because if you don't, all they're going to see is anger. All they're going to see is mom and dad is angry with me. And they don't get what you're trying to teach them. Proverbs 29, verse 11.
Full victory is anger, but a wise man keeps himself under
All right, thanks. You know, it's incredible that we live in America that even our newspaper has the vent section. You know, you go in there and people vent about the traffic, people vent about this, the politics, people vent, and, you know, it really, it says here, a fool gives full vent to his anger. Are you just venting or are you trying to get help? You know, if you're just venting, it says you're a fool. So, you know, stop being a fool. Stop venting. Get help. You know, I think about it. I was like, you know, my wife has the Holy Spirit in her. I have the Holy Spirit in me. And it is hard at times not to be angry with each other. I can't imagine the world. I cannot imagine the marriages out there who don't have the Spirit of God living in them. How angry they are. There's nowhere to go. You just vent. You vent at work. You vent at the park. You vent. You write all these stuff. There's no way to go. And I think we have an incredible resource in here. Talk to people. Get all that stuff out so you can get help. You know, the people in the world, they just keep it all in. They blow up, you know, at the end. You know, for us, let's not vent, but let's get help. Amen. Let's talk to the people that can help us. You know, I it challenges me, you know, kind of like, you know, I think sometimes we get help from the people that are most like us. You know, we're like, well, he can help me. No, he can't. You got to go to the people that are a little scary. To the people that are not like you, and get help from them. Asking, brother, how do you do this? I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to control my anger. I don't know how to talk to my kids. So for us, it's to raise the level. It's to step it up. It's not to be just comfortable, but to not just vent, but to get real help. That's a challenge for us. Proverbs 29:22. Okay. Angry man stirs dissension, hot temper, commits many sins. You know, how many school shootings have we seen? You know, people who are angry, shootings at work. You know, just bad stuff happening. We hear it on the news all the time. People who do things out of anger. You know, it's just hot temper, commits many sins. And not only that, but really, you know, it just put a wedge around all of us when you're angry. Commits many sins. Proverbs verse 33. I like this one. It says, twisting the nose produces blood. I imagine like nose ring or something. You keep twisting it, and it's like, it's going to produce blood. Same thing with stirring up anger produces strife. You know, I'm kind of slow, so I looked up strife. So I'm like, what is strife? It says discord. I'm like, so what is discord? Look up discord. You know, it says lack of harmony. I was like, okay, I understand that. Lack of harmony. It says family have been scarred with discord, dissension, strife, lack of harmony in your family, in the people that you love. You know, I've seen family divided because of anger. You know, and really, more importantly, lack of harmony in your heart. You know, I think, you know, hatred, anger can produce that. You know, you keep turning it, and you're going to produce strife and discord and lack of harmony in your life. You know, I asked my wife, I was like, you know, Joe Washington wanted me to speak about anger. You know, Gary wants me to speak about anger. Something about me that I'm angry, you know? Like, do they see something in me that, like, he's just an angry person, he needs to get a hold of this? And I asked my wife, I was like, you know, honey, am I an angry person? She's like, No, you're passive aggressive. I'm like, what is that? What is passive aggressive? I was like, okay. And that's one of the dangerous anger, passive aggressive. You know, really, passive aggressive is not wanting to be vulnerable about what's really going on inside. So we hold it. So we keep it. So we stuff it. And we keep stuffing it. And you get bigger and bigger. And eventually you blow up. And it's like, it's ugly. You know, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 here. Verse 4 and 5. Okay, thanks. You know, I think passive aggressive is not very loving, because what it is, we keep record of wrongs. We keep stuffing it. You did this to me way back then, and now you're doing it again, and you keep doing it, and you don't ever talk about it, but you keep stuffing it, and that's what it is. Bitterness is unresolved anger over a period of time. You know, we have to learn to forgive. You know, we need to learn how to talk to people, get it out, talk to people. Hey, this is how you hurt me, and get all that anger out, or you become bitter, and you hold on to all that stuff, and it makes you a bitter person at the end. You know, let me tell you about a story. There's a lady. She, her daughter, her senior and high school daughter was killed in a car accident. And this is her only daughter. She was a single mom. And she was devastated. She was like, my only daughter killed in a car accident. You know, and really, she was, you know, when it all boils down to, she was really angry. She was angry at the drunk driver that hit her. It was a drunk driver. She was angry at the judicial system. This is his third time getting off. She was angry at her ex for buying her daughter this little car. She had no chance in it. She felt like that little car couldn't save her. But ultimately, she was angry at God. She was like, God, you know, of all people on earth, why me? I only have one daughter. She's a senior. She's ready to go to college. And she's killed. You know, why didn't he do anything if he was all-powerful and all-knowing? And I think sometimes we're angry at God in our life. You know, I feel like the two things that God can do to eliminate anger, one is God can wipe out all the people that causes anger. He can, like, you know, zap, you're gone, you're a mean guy, and you're gone. But then there'll be nobody left. Because yep. All have sinned and fall short. Yep. So he can't do that. Or secondly, I'm thinking, okay, well, God can step in and avert all the bad things. He could, you know, make the car not start for drunk drivers. He can eliminate, you know, bullets turning, you know, to dust. He can do all that stuff. He can make everybody act nice and good. But then we would just be robots. We wouldn't have that freedom. You know, if God allowed us to choose to obey, he has to allow for us to choose not to obey. And I think for us, a lot of times we wrestle with that. You know, we wrestle with, God, why me? Of all the people on earth, why me? You know, my life is not what it thought it'd be, whether it's finances. God, I'm trying so hard, but I'm still in the hole. You know, my health, my family. The church is not using me like I I think I can be used. You know, we feel like they're not using me. We feel like, you know, at times we feel like, God, I did what you say. I married a Christian. I did exactly how you, and it's not turning out the way I thought it would. You know, so we get angry. We get angry at God. You know, I think we need to take all those anger towards God and talk to him. And really, I think, you know, God is not going to be surprised by your anger. He's not going to say, whoa, where did that one come from? He knows you're angry. He sees you. But I think sometimes we hold all that in and we pretend, you know, I'm just going to be a great disciple and not be real. And I think for us, it's the challenge is to talk to God. God, here's what I'm angry about, and lay him at his feet. But ultimately, we gotta accept his will for us. Like Cain and Job, you know, we have to be like Job. You know, Cain, he didn't accept God's, you know, decision for him. He went out and killed his brother. I think for us, it's to be like Job. And, you know, we may go through hard times, but ultimately we have to surrender to God's plan for us. Really, when we get angry, we have limited perspective. We don't see what's going on. We don't see, all we can see is a month from now, I'm going to do this and that. But a year, 20 years, 30 years, we don't know. But God does. So I think the things that we do is like, give it up, you know, leave it to God. You know, I'll finish up here in James chapter 1, verse 1 and 1, 2 to 4. I'll go ahead and read it. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trial of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, I think we need to persevere when we're going through our hard times. We need to put it in God's hand and really trust him and persevere so that you can complete and not be lacking anything. You know, for us, that's the key, is to put our trust in God. You know, really, you know, just to close here, back in the 80s, late 80s to mid 90s, they had a big campaign about just say no. Just say no to drug. You know, I don't know, you guys remember that, just say no. And really it worked for a little bit, but then it died, you know, gone away. It didn't work. I thought about that. I was like, you know, why that fail? Because there's nothing to say yes to. All we did was say no. And really, I think sometimes that's how we are with anger. You know, we just say no, 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 no. We have nothing yes to say yes to. You know, I've decided, studying this has really been convicting and challenging. And, you know, I've decided that every time I get angry, I'm going to substitute my anger with compassion. I'm going to, you know, the guy cuts me off in traffic and I'm like, I'm tempted to get angry. Compassion. This guy might be an emergency, or he's running late, or, you know, he's getting something. Compassion. Your wife is, you know, not, you know, you're gonna be late for church, and she's still doing all this stuff, and you're like, compassion. They do take longer, but it's okay. We'll get to church. God is still God. He's not going away. I think for us, it's to substitute our anger with compassion. Amen. You know, I get angry a month, tons of time. A week, tons of time. A day, I get angry. I was angry today. I was telling my wife. I was like, you know, I got a phone call from China, and they presume I speak Chinese, and I don't. So they start going on Chinese. I'm like, I have no idea. I'm from Chicago. I don't know. I was raised in Chicago. And so they kept going. I'm like, can I speak to someone who speaks English? So, And I was getting angry. I was like, why are they talking to me in Chinese? I don't speak Chinese. And they're calling me from, you know, Hong Kong somewhere. And so I was like, okay, compassion. Compassion. This person doesn't know that I don't speak Chinese. And they're frustrated. They don't understand English, too. So we're both not communicating. And I think for us, it's to substitute our anger with compassion. So when you're tempted to get angry, compassion. Put it in your heart. It has changed my view of anger. It has helped me to stop myself, to really listen to the Spirit, to lead by the Spirit, and to really get a grasp of my anger. You know, I hope it's been helpful tonight. I hope that you get a lot out of it. And really, I think anger is something that we all deal with, something that you know, it's a thorn on our side at time, and we just get tripped up by it all the time. But I think for us, it's to really pray, to really get men and women in our life to really help us so that we can be the men and women of God.